This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
For you. I love the way he does that cat growl. He had that down pat. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It's a kind of overcast and drizzly Monday morning in Tampa Bay, December the 14th already. Have you started your Christmas shopping yet? I haven't. We'll be talking in a few minutes with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute, and we're going to talk about the comparison of New York and Florida when it comes to fiscal responsibility. Why is it that they're going to raise tax? They're going to try and raise taxes again in New York. You ever wonder why all these businesses are pulling up their stakes from New York and moving to other places, including Florida? So we'll talk about that with Chris Edwards. Stay tuned. And the Electoral College getting ready today to vote on the president. Which one, right? So is it finally over for Trump? Is this it? We're going to talk about that and a few other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, His Eminence Andrew Ceraci. You know, he always has some thoughts about those kinds of things, so stay tuned for that. And a cyber attack on our Treasury Department. You know, it does seem like all of our institutions are being somewhat compromised. We're worried about our voting institution. We're worried about Chinese and Russian hacking of our election systems. Now, our Treasury Department, what's going on here? So we're going to look into that a little bit. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. You know, the virus is literally being shipped now. That's pretty exciting. So we're going to give you the top 10 most vaccine-preventable diseases. You know, where the vaccine really makes the difference, okay? So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, the best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, in my opinion, is over at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza. That's in Dunedin. It is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. But you got to call for your appointment first, 727-733-3773. Great haircut, great price. They are closed on Mondays, but they're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. And also, don't forget, Good Morning America. Good Morning America. Good Morning Clearwater. Always say that. Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, who will, by the way, be back tomorrow live, starting off your day with the latest in news and entertainment. And they also have great posters and flyers and banners that they create. They have, I got one right behind me if you got your little video thing on. Just like that. And all you have to do is call them at 727-330-3212. All right. Well, the U.S. will administer its first dose of this virus from Pfizer, this vaccine, which has been recently approved. It's amazing how quickly we've got them out the door, is it not? I believe UPS and FedEx and a bunch of others are helping deliver it. They're going to go to different distribution points all over the the country. They will not decide who. That's still in the hands of the federal government. But it sounds like we're going to get it to the healthcare workers, and I guess to the most vulnerable, the oldest of our population. So it's coming real soon.
First nurse was just a vaccine, got the vaccine a few minutes ago.
No kidding.
Yeah, of course Cuomo was there.
Really? It was in New York then?
Yeah, just happened.
So it's the very first person in our country?
Yes.
Got it. And
yeah.
It was a nurse. Huh?
Yeah.
Is that person still alive? Or did they walk?
At least through the interview. You think that'd be too early to like drop to your knees? Or?
I don't know. You know,
Mr.
They
Cuomo,
say you do have a little bit of a reaction.
She should have went up and kissed Cuomo.
Why didn't Cuomo take the first shot?
Well, he's not going to turn down a chance for...
Why didn't he take it? Is he afraid?
Well, you know, that's something... Didn't former President Obama and Bush both say that they were going to take theirs live?
They might have.
Their vaccine live?
They might have. I don't recall.
Cuomo's there just to get credit.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to be talking a little bit about why is that state, speaking of Cuomo...
Because,
by the way, he's in a little bit of trouble. I don't have it in my in my to-do list for today, but apparently some woman's come out. But you know what? If you're the governor and if you've been in politics, I guarantee you there are going to be people that are going to say something.
Well, no, that didn't work for Trump. He was guilty before he even
came.
Know.
This lady apparently it was more of what he said. He was sort of condescending, you know what I mean, looking down on her and treating her kind of like a, you know what I mean, a second-class person, that kind of thing. Anyway, so here we go, and I guess this is a two-shot situation. I think as time goes by, most people will probably say, yeah, I think I'll get this thing. But there's still a lot of people that are saying, no, I don't think I will, including our beloved Master Barber. He's not big on getting that vaccine either. In the meantime, at the same time, we got this Electoral College vote going today. Presidential electors from all 50 states and D.C. are meeting to officially cast their ballot. I wonder if this is like the last hurrah for Trump now? He's probably going to push it a little bit further. But this is the next step in the process. Then comes certification in January. Today's votes will probably go, for the most part, for President-elect Joe Biden. He would then officially become the 46th president. Trump last night was tweeting. He says the election is still under protest. I think it's starting to look stronger and stronger for Biden. But he's going to keep going. Trump is. So we'll talk a little bit with Andrew. I wonder what Andrew, the Master Barber, is going to say about whether Trump should consider continuing or backing off, maybe just waiting until, 4 years from now. And the other question is whether Trump's going to show up and sit during the inauguration process. You think he'll be there, Ed? Or do you think he's going to go back?
You mean...
when they inaugurate Biden.
Yeah.
When they're doing the official swearing in right in front of the, you know, everybody in the world. Yeah. And, your wife stands next to you and you're sworn in.
Yeah.
And then all the people that are... Typically, the former presidents are all there.
Well, right now,
Where's Trump going to be?
Well, right now, President Trump and Melania, they keep shutting the lights off every time Biden comes to the White House door and hiding. I know you're in there.
You know, you got to give Biden the... Now, Biden's been through... If anybody knows the White House, he even knows where all the sneaky windows are. He can get in a window somewhere. You know, he's been in the White House for how many years? 38 years?
He can't put a sentence together, climbing a window.
Well, maybe he can't climb in, but I mean, can't he direct somebody else to get in there? Anyway, listen, we got something more important to talk about. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute, we're going to talk about the comparisons between the Empire State and the Sunshine State.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
To Old East Channel Radio every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Do you remember the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, we'll be playing the greatest hits as well as plenty of songs from the B-side. This show is sure to bring back memories, so pull out your record collection, adjust your antenna, and listen to Old East Channel Radio Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a little overcast, rainy Monday morning in Tampa Bay. So, like you said, Ed, I'm looking here, and this healthcare worker, there he is standing next to her. I guess that's Governor Cuomo. While she gets the shot, she says it didn't feel any different from any other vaccine. So away we go. But speaking of Governor Cuomo, we've got Chris Edwards joining us. He is director of tax policy at the Cato Institute. He's also the editor of downsizinggovernment.org. That always sounds to me, Chris, like a great thing, if we can figure out a way to downsize government. But you talk about New York versus Florida in your blog post, and we talk about you know, how businesses are suffering in Florida to begin with. Then comes the pandemic. But they always think to raise taxes first. Tell us a little bit about why this is not a good idea for the Empire State.
Well, the governor of New York came out recently and said, well, we've got a budget gap, and you know, we need to raise taxes again to close the budget gap. By the way, thanks for having me today.
As always, we're delighted to have you.
So the governor, I gave him an F on the fiscal report card we do for all the governors for good reason. He keeps pushing spending and tax hikes in New York, and that induces more and more people to move out of the Empire State to lower tax states like Florida. Yeah. So I dug into some of the budget details here and compared New York to Florida. The biggest interstate migration flow in the United States is from New York to Florida. There's tens of thousands of people who move every year to Florida. People are draining out of New York State. If you look at the Bureau of the Census publishes comparable and accurate spending and tax data for the state. So for the most recent year, 2018, I looked at those two states, Florida and New York. Florida has actually a bit of a higher population than New York now, 21 million versus 19 million in New York. But New York state and local government spending is twice as high as Florida's. Wow. New York state and local governments spend $367 billion a year, twice what Florida's government spend, $188 billion a year.
Wow.
It's an unbelievably massive difference. New York spends twice as much, even though the population of Florida is slightly bigger now. So, you know, clearly this is an indication of just massive government inefficiency in New York. And I suggested that rather than hiking taxes, New York politicians and leaders like Cuomo ought to be looking at why their government is so inefficient.
Yeah, I think your blog is absolutely perfect and right on. And they should look to Florida. They should look to Florida to see what's going on. The less taxes you have, the more you will induce businesses to show up and provide jobs for your people. And the more people that are working there, the more taxes you'll get because you got more people. It's such a simple equation. Why are they so locked in to the unions and the control that unions have, really, which does not allow them? For instance, Florida is a right-to-work state. New York is not. And I would think that has a lot to do with it. Your thought on that?
That is one of the big differences. Is New York is the most has the most unionized public sector in America, and Florida has one of the least unionized public sectors. That's a big difference, and you can see that, for example, in K-12 education spending. So if you look at New York and Florida have about the same number of kids enrolled in K-12 schools. But the most recent year data I looked at, and that's on the Cato website, New York spent $71 billion a year on their, I take that back, I'm looking at the wrong number here. New York spent $69 billion a year on their K-12 schools. Florida spent just $28 billion. New York had 473,000 employees in K-12 public schools. That's 100,000 more than the K-12 schools in Florida, 360,000. Again, they both got about the same number of kids enrolled, but New York has 31% higher employment of teachers and non-teaching mm-hmm. education staff. Now, people might say, oh, well, maybe New York schools are better, but they're not. There's a bunch of different groups, including U.S. News and World Report, rank Florida schools higher than New York schools.
Really?
So Florida schools are better, and yet New York has a massive greater number of school employees, and they spend a lot more. So, my point is that, some people will say, oh, well, maybe you get better government if you have higher taxes. But that's not true when you compare New York and Florida. Florida has better government probably than New York, although it's a debatable point. But even though New York spends twice as much, it's really a remarkable difference.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, and we mentioned the unions, but there's kind of a stranglehold thing going on, not just in New York, but in many of the major cities, especially in the Midwest and the Northeast, with kind of the Democratic Party. Inner city people, who tend to be Democrats and demand the services from the government. And that means that the government has to take in more money to provide the services. I mean, it's sort of a big, it's sort of a big circular thing. I don't know how easy. New York is just typical of that. Chicago's got the same, I would think. Detroit, Boston, all of the major cities, do they not really kind of have the same issue? Or what separates New York, do you think, Chris, from maybe some of these other cities in terms of...
I mean, I think it's just philosophy and ideology. I think the leaders of some states like California and New York, just they apparently believe that big government is better. And I think they just ought to open their minds and look around at other states and realize that, hey, maybe our big government approach is not the best one. So I'd ask New York leaders, as the business people say, let's look at the best practices of the best run, governments. And I think New York leaders ought to be looking at states like Florida and have an open mind and say, look, Florida can run a very efficient and well-run government, apparently with good results, at a much lower cost. Why is that?
Yeah.
So I think that, New York leaders are just stuck into this mindset that they have to keep raising taxes, but it's a vicious cycle. The more they raise taxes, the more people leave, and then the more desperate they are, the more they claim they've got giant budget gaps and have to raise taxes more. It's a total dead end, and the only way out is looking at best practices in more efficient states like Florida and running a leaner government and reducing those taxes down the road to draw some people back. Where they're headed, New York's been headed in this wrong direction for decades now, and they're losing population.
Yeah, there's no question.
It's really a dead-end cycle they're in.
We're talking with Chris Edwards. He is the Director of Tax Policy Studies at the Great Cato Institute. He's also the editor of DownsizingGovernment.org. Of course, Chris, you and I are both kind of libertarian by nature, and we want to see less government anyway. We realize, I think most people, if they think about it, realize that the less government you have, you know, and allowing the private sector it helps allow the private sector to flourish, and all good things seem to come from that kind of a thing. But you've got, can you imagine the governor of New York, who's a Democrat, saying, you know what? You know, standing up there, you know, holding a press conference. I think we're going to take the Florida philosophy. I wonder how long he'd be the governor of New York. I mean, I guess his hands are tied. I mean, practically they're tied. I just wonder. I mean, deep down they must realize that what's happening. It's sort of like a slow poison.
So Governor Cuomo is interesting because over the, you know, he's been in office just about 10 years now. And over his tenure in office, he sort of switched back and forth between seemingly being concerned about businesses and individuals leaving the state. He'll often comment that he often will recognize that the high taxes are especially driving high income earners and finance companies out of New York. So he sort of gets it, but then he doesn't really solve the problem. Here's what I would also point out to leaders in states like New York. This is not just an economic problem. There's a basic freedom problem here. Cato does an annual ranking called Freedom in the 50 States, where we look at both economic freedom and personal freedom. And New York ranks the lowest of the 50 states in terms of overall freedom. So there's a general freedom problem in New York. And if you look at the correlation between where people are migrating in this country and our overall freedom measurement that we've got at Cato, freedominthe50states.org, it's pretty clear people are draining out of the low freedom states like New York, and they're going to the more freedom states like Florida. So there's not just an economic issue here, there's a general freedom issue.
Yeah. May I ask, do you recall who's number one in overall freedom as far as the states go?
So it usually, I've got it in front of me here, usually New Hampshire's either number one or two, and Florida currently ranks as number one. So New Hampshire and Florida here, you know, they're consistently at the very top end of the most free states. New Hampshire is very interesting because people will say, when I say that, I mean, that the data is obvious that people are draining out of New York and they're going to Florida and Texas, and people will say, oh, well, they're just going south for the sun. But actually, people are moving into states like New Hampshire, as well as South Dakota, that are cold states, not as sunny as Florida. And so it makes it clear that they're not just moving south because of the weather. They're moving south because states like Texas and Florida are more free. They're also moving into freer states like New Hampshire and South Dakota for the freedom.
You know, New York, of course, and the city of New York, where all the stock market is going on, basically. But even there, there are companies that are affiliated with Wall Street that are moving, like, to Texas and other places too. I would think that would scare the bejesus out of the governor when he sees
it should, and they need to do something about it, because obviously that, you know, the gravity is shifting south here. The Palm Beach area is becoming a big haven for hedge funds. Goldman Sachs is saying that they might move some of their operations down to Florida. So more and more finance companies are moving to places like Florida, just, you know, for the lifestyle and the lower taxes. So New York, there's a real fear that it's going to get hollowed out. And it's very sad. I mean, New York City should be the finance capital of America. And it's very sad that the state and local politicians there are scaring all these businesses out. And the thing is, it's not just like, you know, it's not just taxes today. I think a lot of leaders of these finance companies are looking ahead and they're saying, you know, the government in New York is so poorly run, looking down the road, that they don't see any prospect of relief with lower taxes and better governance in the future, because the leaders, they're just pushing the same high tax scenarios. And so I think state leaders have to realize that businesses and individuals, they're forward looking. And if they see that their state is so poorly run and there's no prospect for relief, they're going to leave. And I think that's what we're seeing in all these finance companies moving to Florida.
Well, as a former Chicagoan, I want to see the cities like Chicago and New York and L.A., you know, stay vibrant and get more vibrant. Maybe they should have a big conference among them, you know, just sit down and start to open up with each other and figure out that exactly what you're saying makes sense. It's always a delight, Chris, to have you with us. Thank you so very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
All right, Chris Edwards, Cato Institute. Let us take our break. And when we come back, among other things, the Electoral College is going to get ready and vote today. Sounds like it's finally going to be maybe the curtain is drawing down on Donald Trump, but we're going to talk about it with the proprietor of the barber pole himself and his brother up north, the Ceraci brothers.
Sober, it's 4 o'clock and we're in trouble deep. Wake up with you, Susie.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday morning and delighted to have both the Ceraci brothers here, Andrew, the master barber, and what we call our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceraci, is with us as well. And Andrew, if you permit me, I'm going to ask Angelo, because we just heard that this healthcare worker in New York got the very first vaccine shot for the coronavirus. And Angelo, let me ask you straight out, are you planning on taking the vaccine shot?
Yes, I am.
You are? Yes. Okay. I wonder how soon you're going to have that opportunity. Do you have any idea?
I have no idea, but my doctor, the heart doctor that I'm with, because I'm one of the first ones on his list to get it.
You are?
Yes.
Does your doctor feel that that you for sure need it as soon as possible then, huh?
Well, yeah, because our numbers are getting up over here again. And a friend of mine that was in my band, he's got coronavirus pretty bad. In fact, he couldn't barely talk yesterday when I was talking to him, you know, because of the oxygen. He's having a hard time breathing.
Now, do you feel that is he going to be able to get the shot even though he's already got the virus?
I don't know how they're going to work that out.
Yeah.
Well, I could only talk to him for about a minute yesterday because they don't want him talking to save his breath. You know, he couldn't really talk.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, you know, it's a good question whether or not people that already have the virus, you know, are going to either have to have or need, or do they develop their own antibodies? And I don't know.
I don't know how they figure that's going to work. Some of the doctors were saying that they build up antibodies. Who knows, you know?
Yeah, yeah. In the meantime, the Electoral College is getting together this morning, and Andrew, the master barber, Do you think the curtain is starting to come down on Donald Trump? I guess he's still talking about protesting, but what's he...
You know, Paul, supposedly they got up like January 8th. The Electoral College can meet all they want today. You know that as we're speaking right now, there's a judge in Georgia that Sidney Powell had 16 of the Dominion machines forensically analyzed, and the judge is hearing the evidence that they have off of them right now as we speak.
A judge now, in Georgia?
In Michigan.
In Michigan, excuse me. Okay.
In Michigan, okay?
Uh-huh.
And now listen, I don't care if he's raising his right hand on January the 20th. If there's fraud on these machines and they prove that they switched votes, it don't matter, Paul. You'll see a revolution in this country quicker than you could shake a stick.
Yeah. No,
okay, I don't care about the dates. I don't care about the times. You're talking treason in this country and a stolen election.
Well, a lot of people agree with you. Although when you look at the overall numbers, apparently, most people feel that the election was not stolen and that it was honest. But you look at the Republicans, and specifically the Trump voters, very,
well, I don't
very
care
high
Democrats or Republicans. I want the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? No, I don't care. When the evidence is there, the Democrats can say what they want. The Republicans can say what they want. The facts are the facts.
Yeah.
Period.
But nobody's really presented evidence enough to sway the courts. Let's be honest.
Paul,
they haven't.
Paul, they haven't. Now, let me ask you a question. Adam Schiff had one whistleblower, and the whole world had to listen to that one whistleblower, didn't they? Now, they've got over 1,000 whistleblowers. How come nobody's listening to them?
Well, the media has definitely been a factor in suppressing information. We will agree on that one.
Okay,
but when you go before the courts, you got to present enough evidence for them to, you know, to carry forward.
Well, I don't understand how 1,000 people can't have no evidence.
Well, apparently there hasn't.
Apparently judges have been paid off. I mean, the Chinese are involved with this very heavily from what I'm understanding what's going on now. They're all over the place. How many Chinese spies have infiltrated this government, infiltrated industry?
But now we're going to be, we're mixing different topics here. If we talk about the actual contesting of the vote.
What I don't understand.
You got to be able to, you got to walk into the court and you got to say, here is our evidence. You know, bring people in. And then establish that there is enough of this fraud or whatever is going on that it will actually change the outcome of the election in that state. I guess.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but they're not doing that.
A paid off judge can decide whatever he wants, can't he?
Now you're saying a judge is paid off.
I don't believe you've seen it, and see you later.
Which judge? The judges in the Supreme Court, are they paid off now, too? The ones that voted out?
I don't know what's going on with the Supreme
Court. Well, they voted.
Apparently, I'm understanding what they're saying now is they want each state to file their claim separately.
Angelo, let me ask you. Do you think that judges are, in effect, maybe being compromised in some of these cases that involve the different states and the ballots and everything? What do you think?
You know, I'll tell you, when the Supreme Court didn't want to listen to the case, I felt the same way the day that President Kennedy got assassinated.
Mm.
I had this sinking feeling that, I mean, it's the same. I felt, and I don't know how to explain it, but, I mean, I was like 1963, November 22nd. I was, you know, 14 years old. Actually, I was 14. And when President Kennedy was assassinated, I was in high school, ninth grade. And I know exactly, I was in math class and everything. And I felt that same feeling when I heard the Supreme Court
really?
Pass out.
You felt that same sense
Kennedy.
Of loss.
That feeling is called wow. You just got screwed. I felt a sense of loss, and I felt a sense of loss of America.
Yeah. I think everybody knows that inner city voting has fraud in it. The question is to be able to pull out the evidence. I think it's so hard. This is the situation. We can, if we're not there, we can kind of know that there's trouble. But to be able to walk into in front of a court and say, you know, I know inner city fraud is going on. I know this is happening. I know that it's happened before, blah, blah, blah. But that's not technically evidence. And we don't have a way of really showing it. You know, like there's no gotcha moment, even on videotape. Even on videotape, there's no gotcha moments where you can.
No, there could be, Paul, on these voting machines.
But that's hearsay.
No, that's what I'm saying. They say they got evidence, but they're presenting.
Yeah, but they're not presenting evidence. They're not. See, that's the thing.
They're supposed to be presenting.
But they don't have it to present. They say, oh, it's connected to this guy.
No, I'm saying if they've proven that machine switched votes.
But they haven't.
This is what they're supposed to be proving.
But they haven't proved that the machine switched votes.
Why is it that they haven't taken forensics, at least and sampled some of the machines? If someone says,
I think they probably have. I think if I read it right, I think they have examined the machines. But they haven't been able to find some little switch where you can take a Biden vote and turn it into a Trump vote and turn it into a Biden vote.
There's got to be some kind of program, Paul, that these people use, that they use every day.
But you got to present evidence that shows it was. And we haven't gotten that kind of evidence. All I'm saying is I tend to think that there's fraud. And I think it's in the inner cities. And I think a lot of those ballots that came in the mail should have been tossed, you know, because there was, for one reason or another, et cetera.
Well, why
you know what I mean? It's like after you ate the meal and the chicken is gone, the evidence is gone. I mean, it kind of that's the same way after you vote, isn't it?
Well, why you obviously the last piece on the table? What about, you know, like, the states changing their election laws.
I agree.
That's what I don't understand about
the I agree with you. Part. The Constitution, like in Michigan in Pennsylvania, they changed the Constitution says you got to do it a certain way, and then they decided not to, and they involved the mail-in voting thing, and they did violate their own rules. But that's within the state. That's within the state violating its own rules. So Texas can't come over and say, hey, we see you violated your rules. We're going to sue you. Well, you don't have standing. So Texas doesn't have standing to sue. You understand?
Right. I mean, now, if the Constitution of the United States gives the way that an election is supposed to be held, right, shouldn't it be all one way to vote? I mean,
well, the only thing
they
there.
Came up, uh-huh. I mean, they came up at the last minute, changing things around. You know, at the last minute, days before the election, weeks before the election, they started. Pelosi started with that House Rule Number 1 in 2018 about the mail-in ballots. They were gearing up to change things. They cheated, and legitimately, so to speak, because they were able to do what they did. Within the confines of the laws, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what the Supreme Court seems to be saying.
Well, every state has its own complete autonomy. So they can all, each state can have its own way of deciding, you know, who is going to be the one that wins the vote. You know what I mean? So they can say, we have mail-in voting, and it can be done this way, and we do this, and this is what time that the polls open and close. They're all autonomous. They each have their own, you know, they each. So the Supreme Court has to allow that.
Right. But, I mean, they have to vote according to the Constitution.
Yeah. I think somebody within the state of Pennsylvania, if they approached the Supreme Court and said, you know what, my rights have been violated because my state has not followed its own Constitution and has changed the rules, which means I lose my rights, you know. Then I think the Supreme Court might be able to look at it. I know we're getting in the weeds a little bit, but you know what I mean? It's got to be somebody that's, quote, has standing, has a dog in the fight, where Texas didn't. So that's why.
They keep saying that the media and the Democrats are saying, we have to close the books on this election. You have to accept him. Well, in 2016, they boycotted Trump's inauguration. They were saying he's an illegitimate president.
Right.
But now they're saying that, we have to accept it.
Of course, because their guy won.
and the thing is, well, what's good for the goose now is good for the gander.
Yeah, well, I know that, but, you know, their guy won. They're just using...
Yeah, but you see...
Yeah.
I mean, and the media goes along with it.
Well, of course they do.
So now the people, and I do not blame one bit. We Republicans who voted for President Trump, what they did for the last 4 years, you know, tearing this person down, doing this, and then losing an election like that, that's why I felt, I mean, you know, when, like I said, when the Supreme Court tossed that thing out, boy, my stomach just sank. It's just like when President Kennedy got shot.
Yeah, it really made a difference for you.
I mean, it made, you know, it's a loss.
Andrew,
our country
I got you, Andrew,
that.
Yeah. Andrew, Donald Trump is going to keep fighting. Do you think, so they got to certify it in January. So between now and then, they'll keep up the fight. They're probably going to take a few of these cases of where they can to individual courts. But is it starting to kind of look like Biden may be the one?
It's got to be.
I think it's going to be Camilla's going to be the one because the Democrats are already throwing Biden in the sun under the bus.
Yeah, well, they're still not talking much about Hunter.
That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. But, you know, going back to the vaccine, Paul.
Yeah.
Now, you know, my brother said he's going to take it.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not going to take it.
I know you're
you remember when I was telling you the other day that Viagra has actually come out to be a blood pressure medication, we saw the miracle that performed.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for my brother to get this injection. And if he starts growing hair on his bald spot that he's got in the back of his head, this is going to be the biggest miracle in the world.
And you never know.
It's going to grow hair. I think Trump had this planned because you know how his hair is.
Yeah.
He's got this vaccine planned, and this is going to grow hair. I'm telling you.
Ah!
Oh.
A secondary benefit.
I'm telling you. I'm going to see Angelo.
There'll be a lot
3 months from now, my brother Angelo.
Now, think about it.
Catch your hair.
Think about it. That would be like a lot more men deciding to take the vaccine all of a sudden that maybe weren't going to take it in the first place.
Well, nobody's going to take Viagra's blood pressure medication either, were they? Look what it
is. True. They were worried about that, too. But Angela's going to take the vaccine shot. And Andrew, are you absolutely, positively, no matter what, Andrew, are you not going to change your mind? Maybe you'll change your mind down the road.
Why would
maybe
I take it?
Well, because you...
Well, you know, the worst I'm going to get is the freaking flu. I've helped the people that had this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I've had the flu pretty bad before in my life. I'm not too worried about it, Paul.
No, you're not. And I must say, to your credit, because you do interact with a lot of men, a lot of people that come into your barbershop, you don't know.
And you know,
you don't
Paul,
know whether
had,
they've got
I had a
it.
Couple old guys come in my shop and say, oh, Andrew, I just got out of the hospital. I had that COVID. You know, they put me in there.
Oh, they did? You have?
I had two people. Yeah, it's two old guys.
But,
I mean,
but they were over it then.
And look at Rudy Giuliani survived it. Not going to be afraid of it? My hair color is not running down the side of my head.
No, it's
I'm
not.
No,
I must say you have a full head of hair, and it's very dark.
Yeah, I'm
so what do you
I'm
use?
No, I'm
do you
not
use...
worried about it. I'm not getting hard.
Yeah,
huh?
You use that dry shoe polish? Is that what you...
I'm going to see that curly spot of hair with this injection. 3 months from now, you can see a lot of curly-haired people.
Oh, that would be interesting. Well, listen, it's always a pleasure to have both of you on. And, Angelo, thank you for calling in, my friend. Keep safe. And we want to obviously hear from you about when you're going to get – in fact, I think it'll be very interesting once you do get that vaccine shot. I'd like to talk to you about, you know, the effects he had and everything else. So I'm kind of looking – forward to
yeah,
all
I
of that.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that.
Yeah, for sure. And Andrew, we will, of course, talk with you again tomorrow.
You got it, buddy. You have a good day.
All right, my friends.
Good day.
Thank you. Thanks, gentlemen. There they go, the Ceresi brothers. All right. Going to take our break. And among other things, when we come back, speaking of the vaccine, we're going to give you the top 10 most vaccine-preventable diseases.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the TAN Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Work. By the way, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the TAN Talk Network. That's when we are on. You can also listen to us from our website on podcast. Ed sets up all of our shows for your pleasure anytime you want to hear us. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com, OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, it looks like we've had a hacking attack on our Treasury Department. The U.S. government acknowledging reports that hackers backed by a foreign government have breached the Treasury Department. And also, by the way, an agency within the Commerce Department. That's kind of scary. So they're getting in there and are able to apparently view all these things that are going on there. Maybe they actually know more about all of the goof-offs that are going on there because they breach our security. According to Reuters, the cyber attack launched on the Treasury Department as well as the Commerce Department's National Telecom Information Administration. They used a Microsoft Office 365 platform to monitor staff members' emails for a long time. Wow. I heard it might be Russia, but who knows, right? Who knows? Okay.
They always blame Russia.
Yeah, they do, don't they? So before we get to our top 10, which is a good one, I want to ask Ed about how our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers are doing. Last night, or not last night, but yesterday afternoon, they encountered the Minnesota Vikings. They hosted them. And at first I thought, wow, look at the Vikings. They're running. I was worried about the defense, but the Bucs won that game.
Tightened it up and got back to doing what they do, short passing and running the football again. But there was still some things to work because
there was a couple of plays. Our rushing defense, it was like maybe it's the offensive line in Minnesota is very good. I don't know.
It is, but they kind of have that bend but don't break. You saw it towards the end. It really shut them down in the end. It was sacking them. He had six sacks yesterday.
But if that field goal kicker had been on his game, he missed.
He's the best player we had on the field.
He was the best player.
He's missed two extra points in the last three extra points.
He missed at least
in the last
goals.
Three games and three field goals.
Yeah, he missed at least two field goals. He missed an extra point. That's 7 points right there.
After he missed the last field goal, they didn't even bother to kick an extra point. They just went for it.
Yeah, I felt so bad for him because he apparently has a very good overall record.
Before that, he was top six in league history.
Yeah, exactly. All right, my friend, it is time for our top 10, and this is a good one, I think. And very appropriate, top 10 vaccine-preventable diseases. We get this from WebMD. So without further ado, the most preventable vaccine that we got, number 10. It's called HIB influenza, which stands for Haemophilus influenza. It's a bacterial disease that infects the lungs. And before the vaccine, about 20,000 children younger than 5 would get it each year. Wow. All right. Number 9. The mumps vaccine. And do you remember the mumps?
Yeah, I had the mumps once.
Did you have the mumps?
Swollen cheeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, painful.
It's a disease caused by a virus that gives people swollen salivary glands. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And it can lead to meningitis. But they got the vaccine, thank goodness. Number 8. The hepatitis B vaccine. Now, hepatitis is a chronic liver disease. And people that have the virus in their blood, they can spread it through sex or sharing needles. Even a pregnant woman can pass it to their babies. So fortunately, we got the vaccine for hepatitis B. Number 7, the meningococcal disease. It's a bacterial disease that can cause meningitis, which is an infection and swelling of the brain and spinal cord. Very, very dangerous. So we did indeed get the vaccine for that. And gosh, even with the antibiotics, as many as 15% of the people that end up getting this disease will die. Wow. Number 6. Tetanus. You remember getting your tetanus shot, right? What is it? Well, tetanus is a bacterial disease that causes lockjaw, breathing problems, muscle spasms, paralysis, and ultimately it can cause death. It can get into your system through soil, dust, cut. Remember you used to say about don't step on a rusty nail. You'll get tetanus, right. But they got the vaccine for it. Number 5. Pneumococcal disease. Number 5 is pneumococcal, a bacterial disease that can cause many types of illness, including pneumonia, ear and blood infections, and meningitis. Thank goodness we got the vaccine for that one. Number 4. And of course, the polio vaccine. So important, the sock vaccine that came in the 50s. A viral disease, polio, affects the muscle system. The polio virus lives in the intestines. You can get infected by coming into contact with human manure, as a matter of fact. It's serious. Most people get no symptoms. Anyway, the vaccine came along and basically wiped off polio. Number 3, flu. The flu vaccine, right? Viral infection of the nose, lungs, and throat. And up to 49,000 Americans die from the flu each year. Number 2, whooping cough, pertussis, a lung infection that makes it hard to breathe. They came along with the vaccine. It's practically gone. Number 1, measles is number 1. The measles infection involving the respiratory system. We got the measles vaccine. You hardly ever hear about it. There you go, my friends. Thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow. Remember, freedom works.
I gave a girl a ride in the wagon. She crawled in.